Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's John. John Telich, Fox 8 Sports Director, joining us on the show. Answer the question for us, even though we had 4 hours, John. What starter should play on Sunday?
I don't think any of them are going to play. That's my guess. I think he stated before he loves the walkthrough phase of football, and with the opener 2 weeks away, not chancing guys getting hurt, what they've done so far. I just think that he's going to go with the plan that he had in the first two games and just not play these guys. Obviously, we'll see later on this morning, early this afternoon, if I'm correct, but that's my bet.
Second question, how sweaty was I on a scale of 1 to 10 at the beginning of the show on Friday?
Well, first of all, I'm upset that you didn't have food when you pulled up to the security gate that night.
I didn't tell anybody this story yet. I felt kind of weird saying it because I don't want to put anybody on blast, but
yeah,
I'll do it.
All right, maybe that was too inside.
No, it's
baseball.
Fine.
I apologize to your listeners, but yeah, you were a bit, but it's okay. First of all, it was a steamy night in some senses in that studio, but you know the scenario that we had to go out and cover games last Friday night, that was one of the best weather nights that we've ever had, Kenny. I mean,
it was beautiful,
just spectacular, and we might be dodging a bullet. I looked at the weather models, if you will, today, and it looks like we might be clear for most of the early part of the evening. So maybe we dodge a bullet this Friday night as well.
I have a theory why I was king sweaty. I'll share that after the interview here at 9:20. I promise I really will. But what happened on Friday was they had food coming.
Yes.
And they didn't have it there. So I pull up and I haven't been to their studios in well over a year.
Yep.
And so the security person does not know who I am. And she lets me through and she comes out and I'm through the first gate, but not the second. And she comes out and I roll down the window and she looks at me. She's like, "Where's the food?" And I says, "Huh?" And she goes, "Yeah, the food. That's why you're here." And I go, "I'm here to do a TV show." She goes, "You're not here to deliver the food?" I went, "No." And she's like, you could see the disappointment wash over her face. And she's like,
yeah,
"Fine, I'll let you through."
Oh, yeah. You know, I show up from covering a couple of games with the photographer, and you know, that's in the back of your mind. Oh, you get back, there might be pizza or something of that nature. And there wasn't. And it was like, "Whoa, okay, all right, we got to adjust here." But there will be food tonight, Kenneth, I promise.
I'm sure about that. John Telich joining us on the show. So we wanted to rip each other about the Streetsboro-West Geauga game, but that not happening.
Yeah.
So West Geauga still was able to get up in arms about other things over this week, but we'll save that for another day.
We're
with our friend.
Banner week in my home county.
Anthony, live over there.
Oh, yes, Anthony. Oh, West G. That fighting football team just could not get going this week.
And they can't stop fighting. I mean, it's school board meetings. It's health meetings. It's everything. They love fighting out in Geauga County.
Crazy.
Everyone's on the same page, which is good. By the way, I do have my lines this week for those that are wondering.
Don't just bring got up the lines in front of Johnny.
St. Ignatius, minus one. 46 is the number against Menor.
Wow. The 46, I'm That's an over. I think you're going to see a lot of points in this game tonight.
I agree.
This is when you get value in your picks, the sharps. And they're not in Vegas now. Where would they be? Vermilion?
<They're>,
right now, the sharps in Vermilion, they don't They don't have it all under control. So this is when the real value is. John Telchoyes on the hotline. All right, so obviously we know we're not going to see a bunch of the starters, if any of the starters, and Stefanski playing it close to the vest. How would you rate overall this experience, training camp, preseason, year number two of Stefanski, but really the first year of preseason games under him?
Well, I think they valued a lot into each and every one of those practices that were full go, and especially the week that they had those two practices with the Giants. I think what they did well goes a long way. And that first day against the Giants, the practice, Baker was, you know, I think they feel real good about how well he played then. I think what you're going to see this year is just the nuances as you go to year two in that offense and how, you know, you can see someone like, Jarvis and Baker connecting on different ways than they did in the past year. And I think that's going to be a fun thing to see. And what you've also saw in this preseason is they've got a stronger roster. There's more depth and all that type of stuff. And so you are seeing more of those guys that might be in the latter part of that 53, and it gives you a little bit more confidence that, you know, you're only as strong as your weakest link, if you will. And I think they are a much stronger football team in that regard. And seeing some of those guys, like we do the Orange and Brown Countdown, and this week, knowing that they're probably not going to play the guys, we did one segment where myself, PJ, and Andre Knott and Riz, we all go out and say, you know, which guy are you going to look for tonight in this game tonight? Our show's running on Sunday. And I said, you know, Blake Hance, you know. I mean, that's where we've come to, and nothing against the young man, but just it shows you that they've got a lot of quality depth on this roster, and you're seeing more of those guys that are going to have an opportunity not just to make the team but to be a little bit more of a viable part should they need them as the season goes on. And as far as the Blake Hance story is concerned, he's no longer just some guy named Blake. You know, he's Blake Hance, and I think he's established himself that he can play in the National Football League.
John Telich joining us here on the show, Fox 8 sports director. It's weird with the kicker. Like, I know I'm concerned, but it's all like, well, I'm concerned, but I'm not going to freak out until there's a reason to freak out. I don't know. I think that a lot of teams are dealing with the same thing the Browns are dealing with.
Yeah, I heard you guys earlier talking with Daryl. I think it's going to be incumbent on them being confident that they got a guy that they can confidently trot out there to get you that 45 to 50-ish type of a field goal. And Kevin's going to be aggressive as he showed he was in that first year. I think that's just going to continue this year as well. And I think also with the evolution of this offense, it's kind of a good problem to have because I think you're not going to have as many situations where you're going to be taking a field goal. You're going to have more situations where they're going to get down to that red zone and they're going to be able to convert. And that's just all another factor for how this roster has changed and how this coaching staff in year two, I think, will make the team better than what we saw in year one.
JT, join us on the hotline. Odell Beckham, big topic of conversation this last week as he's been out there showing off some reps, team drills, obviously not going to play in the preseason game. What is your expectation for Odell Beckham Jr. week one against Kansas City?
Well, I think he'll be out there. I think they'll use him. I don't think he's going to be used a ton. I think he's slowly ramping up, and I think that's a good thing. But there's 17 games this year, guys, and I really think we could see a scenario, and maybe you guys have spoken of this, where he's just not active 1 week, and that could be in week eight or what have you. And I just think by doing that, you know, you're preserving him for when it's really going to be nitty-gritty time, and that would be playoff time. So what they're doing with him is fine to me. Yesterday he got, you know, some 11-on-11 stuff. They mentioned how much, I think Alex Van Pelt was saying, how they do some of the stuff on air, if you will, some of the routes on air, working with Baker, still getting that synergy, even though he wasn't up until yesterday in 11-on-11. So the plan seems to be working so far. He looks absolutely great. So, you know, full speed ahead, guys.
Is the defensive line any better than what it was last year?
Well, I think with Jadeveon Clowney versus Vernon, I mean, that's your comparison. Mm-hmm. As for the other guys, you lose Sheldon Richardson, a very dependable guy, leader, all of that type of thing. So that has to be transition to. You've got Andrew Billings, whom you did not have a year ago, so that's something to look at. So right now, again, second year in the system for some of these guys. Myles Garrett at the top of his game, one of the premier players, not just at his position, but in the entire National Football League. I would say better, but I don't think significantly so, guys. I want to see how this thing develops as the season goes on. I really think the upgrade is starting at the back, and the upgrade is John Johnson the third, and then it goes from there.
JT, we had a clip from Kirk Herbstreit from a podcast over the last week where, I guess at ESPN, they did a seminar and talked about how little money is actually being made by the average athlete, and that most of the money, or I should say half the money, is not even in football, meaning it's going to a lot of social media stars. Yep. And I want to know, does any of that surprise you? Has the dynamic for you changed at all? Are players getting enough? Should they be getting more now that we find out the average name, image, likeness deal is for what, like $500?
Yeah, I think, Anthony, you're seeing stuff that, let's be perfectly honest, that might have been underneath the table before. And again, I'm not saying this is part and parcel to the folks down at the shoe, but you know, I thought there was something yesterday where one car dealership made it known that they've got, you know, they provided six cars to various players, and I think they named one or two of the receivers and what have you. And so you're seeing stuff like that for some of the marquee programs. You obviously have the Quinn Ewers story where that's big. But this has really been about, like, the Twins, you know, those social media stars who the Twin basketball players and about some of the young athletes that have already cultivated this great following that they have on social media. That's where a lot of those types of stars are going to be able to not just play their sport, and it could be a minor sport, if you will, if I could say volleyball is minor or gymnastics and what have you, but not the revenue-producing sports. Those people, those guys or gals, they're seeing some benefits from this. I don't think it was going to be an overall big bonanza for every college athlete out there. It's just nice to know that if a kid wanted to lend his name, image, or likeness, or her name, image, or likeness to a project around town and makes a few bucks for it, they don't have to feel dirty about doing the thing in the first place, and that's a good deal.
What about high school kids? Because, like, not well, Texas is like, well, we don't want to lose our high school players here, so now they're thinking about it.
But OHSAA has said, and we had Governor Mike DeWine on last month, and they said, nope, no progress on this, not happening.
DeWine. Yeah, trust him.
I think what DeWine said is probably the overall overarching sentiment across the country for the most part. So, you know, let's take baby steps here, see what happens on the college landscape. Before you go whole hog into something else beyond that. This is going to be an interesting year to see which types of athletes do produce or get more followings and more contracts with their name and image and or likeness. But I wouldn't go down to that high school level.
I'm thinking about
that wouldn't be something I want.
Yeah, just one more thing. I'm thinking about, you know, the greats to ever do it when it comes to Cleveland sports, the Jim Browns of the world, obviously LeBron's, Bob Feller's. Jake Paul has a chance to do that if he wins this Sunday night. Have you covered the Jake Paul fight? There was a brouhaha yesterday at the weigh-ins. What do you think of Jake Paul?
No, to be honest with you, it's kind of been outside my I know we're at the news conference when they introduced the fight. I know it's going to take place and all that, but it's kind of been outside of just me concentrating on the high school football and obviously Indians and Browns and Cavaliers and Ohio State. So it hasn't been something that I've been really concerning myself with. I'm certainly aware of Jake and his phenomenon that he has become. I saw the deal where you know, the Myles Garrett and Jake, you know, Jake Paul, if there would be a fight, all that type of stuff. I see that stuff on social media, but not something that I'm super duper concerned with.
So, I mean, obviously Stipe fought for the heavyweight championship here. Muhammad Ali, Wepner, they fought here in Cleveland. I mean, this is right up there.
Oh, your sarcasm is just incredibly heavy and right on point today. Thank you very much.
John Teledge, Fox 8 Sports Director, joining us here on the show. John, we thank you so much for the time. You know we appreciate it. It kind of sucks that we aren't able to have the fight, and you have – well, not you fight, but you be the person to stop the fight between Streetsboro and West by God Geauga. But either way, still always great to have you on, JT. We love you, and we thank you very much for the time.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you tonight. Kenny, Anthony, have a good weekend.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I will try to not be as sweaty. I realize the do you want me to tell you now? We have a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
You want me to tell you why?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of big people who can understand this. If I go to put on a suit, because they ask me, they go, why are you wearing a jacket and everything? And I go, because it's very easy for chubbos like me to look slovenly and to look sloppy. And so I like to wear something nice. Well, the problem was I put on the suit too late. And when you put on, like if you're getting ready for a wedding or a graduation or court or whatever, and you're going to put on a suit, it's going to make you hot. And that's what happened to me. As I started getting sweaty, Owen, did it or did it not happen to you for the wedding you
it
went
did.
To?
It did. I went to a wedding on Saturday, and I was, once again, getting ready 10 minutes before we had to walk out the door.
Yes.
Fans going in the
sweat. Oh, my God.
Started.
If I go to a
wedding.
Oh, that's
even for me, too, though. That's just for bigger guys. That's everybody.
So that's for everybody?
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem I had, is you don't really sweat. You just glisten. Oh, boy. Like, it's like melted butter. And that's what happened back on Friday. And the first, they put the camera on me, and like in my head, I'm screaming to get the camera off me. Like I almost wanted to go and like fist fight Nick Kovach. Like that's how angry I was. Like, I'm sweating. You know I'm sweating. Get the camera off me, please, for the love of God.
Well, the studio lights will do nobody any favor, especially local TV news lighting. If a bulb goes or a couple bulbs go, they just brighten the other bulbs. And then you're in no man's land because it is just shining off of you like a spotlight.
You're in an easy bake oven.
Yeah, no man is supposed to look like this.
None.
Nobody. At least women, they know how to do their makeup. Guys, they don't. They just throw on whatever you're told to throw on, and there's no art to it whatsoever. It's not like the old days where they had makeup crew there with you in studio. They don't have any of that anymore. You're doing it yourself.
Coming up in a bit. Has so-and-so hit their ceiling? Who's that so-and-so? We'll tell you who. Up next, to play him or not to play him.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.